It was too cold for crickets, but the sound of traffic, sirens, car alarms, overhead jets, and distant loud music, the pulse of Chicago, kept me company. Mist had risen off of Lake Michigan, like it did a lot of nights, but tonight it had come on exceptionally thick, and tendrils of it drifted through the graves and around the stones. There was a silent, crackling tension in the air, a kind of muted energy that was common in late autumn. Halloween was almost here, and the borders between Chicago and the spirit world, the Never Never, were at their weakest. I could sense the restless shades of the graveyard, most of them too feeble ever to manifest to mortal eyes, stirring in the roiling mist, tasting the energy-laden air. Mouse sat beside me, ears forward and alert, his gaze shifting regularly, eyes focused, his attention obvious enough to make me think that he could literally see the things I could only vaguely feel. But whatever was out there, it didn't bother him. He sat beside me in silence, content to leave his head under my gloved hand. I wore my long leather duster, its mantle falling almost to my elbows, along with black fatigue pants, a sweater, and old combat boots. I carried my wizard's staff with me in my right hand, a length of solid oak, hand-carved, with flowing runes and sigils all up and down its length. My mother's silver pentacle hung by a chain around my neck. My scarred flesh could barely feel the silver bracelet hung with tiny shields on my left wrist, but it was there. Several cloves of garlic tied together in a big lump lay in my duster's pocket and brushed against my leg when I shifted my weight. The group of odd items would have looked innocuous enough to the casual eye, but they amounted to a magical arsenal that had seen me through plenty of trouble. Mavra had given me her word of honor, but I had plenty of other enemies who would love to take a shot at me. I wasn't going to make myself an easy target, but standing around in the haunted graveyard in the dark started to make me nervous, fast. "Come on," I muttered after a few minutes. "What's taking her so long?" Mouse let out a growl, so low and quiet that I barely heard it, but I could feel the dog's sudden tension and wariness quivering up through my maimed hand, shaking my arm to the elbow. I gripped my staff, checking all around me. Mouse was doing much the same, until his dark eyes started tracking something I couldn't see. Whatever it was, judging from Mouse's gaze, it was getting closer. Then there was a quiet, rushing sound, and Mouse crouched, nose pointed at my open grave, his teeth bared. I stepped closer to my grave. Patches of mist flowed down into it from the green grounds. I muttered under my breath, took off my amulet, and pushed some of my will into the five-pointed star, causing it to glow with a low blue light. I draped the amulet over the fingers of my left hand while I gripped the staff in my right, and peered down into the grave. The mist inside it suddenly gathered, congealed, and flowed into the form of a withered corpse, that of a woman, emaciated and dried, as though from years in the earth. The corpse wore a gown and kirtle, medieval style, the former green and the latter black. The fabric was simple cotton, modern manufacture then, and not actual historic dress. Mouse's snarl bubbled up into a more audible, rumbling snarl. The corpse sat up, opened milk-white eyes, and focused on me. It lifted a hand in which it held a white lily and held it toward me. Then the corpse spoke in a voice that was all rasp and whisper.
"Wizard Dresden, a flower for your grave."
"Mavra," I said, "you're late."
"There was a headwind,"
the vampire answered. She flicked her wrist, and the lily arched up out of the grave and landed on my headstone. She followed it out with a similar uncannily smooth motion that reminded me of a spider in its eerie grace. I noted that she wore a sword and a dagger on a weapons belt at her waist. They looked old and worn, and I was betting that they were not of modern make. She came to a halt and faced me from across my grave, her face turned very slightly away from the blue light of my amulet, her cataract eyes steady on Mouse.
You kept your hand? After those burns, I would have thought you would have amputated it.
It's mine, I said, and it's none of your business, and you're wasting my time. The vampire's corpse lips stretched into a smile. Flakes of dead flesh fell down from the corners of her mouth. Brittle hair, like dried straw, had mostly been broken off to the length of a finger, but here and there, longer strands, the color of bread mold, brushed the shoulders of her dress.
You're allowing your mortality to make you impatient, Dresden. Surely you want to take this opportunity to discuss your assault on my scourge?
No. I slipped my amulet on again and rested my hand on Mouse's head. I'm not here to socialize. You've got dirt on Murphy, and you want something from me. Let's have it. Her laugh was full of cobwebs and sandpaper.
I forget how young you are until I see you, she said. Life is fleeting, Dresden. If you insist on keeping yours, you ought to enjoy it.
Funny thing is, trading insults with an egotistical super zombie just isn't my idea of a good time, I said. Mouse punctuated the sentence with another rumbling growl. I turned my shoulders from her, starting to turn away. If that's all you had in mind, I'm leaving. She laughed harder, and the sound of it spooked the hell out of me. Maybe it was the atmosphere, but something about it, the way that it simply lacked anything to do with the things that should motivate laughter. There was no warmth in it, no humanity, no kindness, no joy. It was like Mavra herself. It had the withered human shell, but underneath it all was something from a nightmare.
Very well, Mavra said. We shall embrace brevity.